is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Nutz from ESPN Milwaukee with Brian Rowich from ESPN West Palm. He is Jonathan Hood from ESPN 1000 in Chicago, also a part of the team over on Sirius XM, part of the Pro Wrestling Nation team. Catch him 9 to noon each and every Sunday. So a lot of things to dive into this week. But where we start is John Cena. As we are getting closer to his final Saturday night's main event, we've had all of his other final appearances, and now we know it's down to two. Who is going to face John Cena at Saturday night's main event later this month? Is it going to be LA Knight, or is it going to be the one everybody else thought it was going to be all along, Gunther?
Tell you what, LA Knight continues to perform as if it's going to be him. A lot of bravado, almost heelish in some ways, and it comes across like it's going to be him, but it's going to be Gunther, because they believe strongly in Gunther. We've talked about this on the show a lot, Brian, regarding how the company feels great about Gunther. You retire Goldberg, and imagine being in a retirement match with Cena. Whether Cena wins or not, point is that you're in that spotlight. I think they see Gunther as a huge star, so he needs to be in that spotlight against Cena.
Yeah, and I think because of that, and I don't know if WWE thinks this long-term, but in terms of the storytelling, Gunther having that note adds to his character, saying, oh yeah, I retired Goldberg, I retired Cena. By the way, Cena announced last night, it's the opening match at Saturday night's main event. I guess he doesn't want to be Goldberg. He doesn't want to be, you know, cut off in his retirement stuff.
Well, so I saw the same thing, but then I watched the video. I don't think that's what he said. I think that was a misinterpretation. I think ultimately it's still going to be the main event. Because I don't think WWE is going to put him on first and then, like, put on a bunch of matches with that haven't still been announced yet, by the way. Up-and-coming talent against veteran superstars for Saturday night's main event.
So that's the thing. Like, playing the other side, LA Knight winning does what?
So I've thought about this, and it goes back to something I've been talking about. He should not have lost. I understand Liv Morgan came back and all those things. He shouldn't have lost. He should still have that Intercontinental Championship, because if it's LA Knight or Gunther, some of the luster is lost. Because now he's going to lose back to back, and losing back to back closely, right? Like, I go back to Goldberg. Like, Goldberg, but he wrestled so intermittently. Like, the wins and losses for him truly didn't matter. It's the attraction of Goldberg. He's coming out there. You want to do the entrance. You want to do all these different things for him. And he can still draw into that. Like, the last time we saw John Cena, we saw him lose. Like, and he's got no chance to come back and build this up, try to build himself back up, because this is the last time we're going to see him in a WWE ring as an in-ring competitor. And by losing to Dirty Dom, like, some of the luster is going to be lost. And I wonder if that affects Gunther. So for LA Knight, if LA Knight wins, it means he finally won a couple of big matches, which is something that he's never done. Like, winning, just straight up beating Gunther, like, that would be the biggest match that LA Knight might have ever won. And I know he's held, what, the US title before, but Gunther being the former world champion, being one of the longest running intercontinental champions of the last decade, like, that would be a huge win for LA Knight.
I can't trust LA Knight in that spot. And you know why? Because LA Knight always slips on a banana peel. I don't mean what wins and losses. You've seen the matches. He does this top rope thing that he always slips on the top rope. I don't know if it's his boots. I don't know if it's the sweat on the ropes, but there's always something with him, right? So he can never have an A-plus perfect match. It's always something, right? He's a hell of a wrestler and a great hand. There's no doubt. But think about it. Washington, D.C., Cena's last match, it just looks better with Gunther against John Cena. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to change my opinion from last week, because I'm thinking that when we were asking how many matches does Cena win down the stretch or how many losses does he have, man, I'm starting to think that Cena is going to win this match against Gunther if that's going to be the final. I'm starting to think that that's going to be the case. Like, because he already lost a match to Dominic. Okay, so, all right, you want to give the championship back to Dominic? Okay, that's fine. There's a lot of schmozzy stuff and women beating up on John Cena. He lost. But you know what? At the end, didn't it feel like John won? Even though he lost the Intercontinental Championship, it's like, hey, he lost, but he got so much acclaim and so much applause because it's the last time he's going to be on a PLE. Pretty cool.
And retroactively, if he were to beat Gunther, let's say it is Gunther and he beats Gunther, that gives more credence to the win for Dom, because now Dom as the heel can still walk around chest puffed out. I'm the last guy who beat John Cena. I beat him for this Intercontinental Championship. I'm the last guy that ever put John Cena's shoulders on that mat. And it gives that win for Dom a little bit more should they go the other way and actually have Gunther lose to Cena.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think the issue, though, is like Dom can still do that. Dom can still say, hey, I'm the last person to beat Cena for a title. Gunther winning does more for him. We talk about the main event scene not having enough stars, and Gunther's been a world champion, but he's still not that next level star. Him losing does nothing for that company. Like, Cena's still going to be honored. Like, Cena still, we saw it at Survivor Series. He takes a loss, but he still gets his moment in the ring. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't need to win this match at all.
Well, and if he's going to win, then he should probably win against LA Knight, right?
We're done with LA Knight at that point, if so.
Well, he's not the McIntyre level, is he? Like, we're done with McIntyre.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's higher than McIntyre, because at least Drew's got a couple world championships to fall back on. LA Knight's never done that.
And main events. I feel like LA Knight doesn't even get the main events. Like, he's always just below the main event.
I feel like Knight still has something to give because I think there's a heel turn coming, and always a fresh coat of paint helps. Like at this point in time, yes, I get that, but I feel like at some point that they'll say, all right, but, be a heel, get into your bag, and then we'll see what happens.
But can he ever truly be a heel?
Yes.
Because I look at the same thing. Well, but him as the performer, yes. But the crowd's never going to treat him like that. Just like Seth Rollins was a heel, but they still sang along when his entrance music played. They still did the sing-along when he said he's Seth freaking, and the crowd would yell freaking Rollins. Like, they're still hitting all the catchphrases. Yeah. Like, the LA Knight, yeah, is not going to disappear from the crowds either. Like, if you turn him heel, he's still going to have, let me talk to you. He's still going to have the LA Knight, yeah, stuff. Like, I don't know. Even if Triple H writes heel, the crowd's not going to react to him that way.
But that's the WWE world. Paul Heyman's a heel, but everyone, you got to say his line. Like, that's just how they do things over there.
Paul still gets booed, though.
Depends on what he says, but you know that this is the sing along era of the WWE, though.
Right.
Everybody sings along. Nobody's really a heel, not a deep dark heel. No one. I mean, it's more baby faces than heels. I mean, he gets respect.
Yeah, he gets respect, but I mean, he doesn't have a catchphrase because he's the no-nonsense character on the roster, right? He doesn't have a catchphrase. He doesn't have those things to sing along with. I mean, do I wish they also changed his music back to what it was? Because I felt like it was a little more menacing than what it was previous, but it's not like you could sing along to either one, so it doesn't really matter. But he doesn't have any of that, so Gunther might be the only true heel in WWE.
The European crowd would find a way to chant or sing along with that theme. They'd find a way to chant Gunther's theme, I think, in some way. Because they do it for everybody, right?
Yeah,
I just think that I really believe that you look at the poster, and on one side is Gunther, the other one is John Cena. That sells itself.
That's a good-looking poster. That's a good-looking poster.
LA Knight, not in Cena's last match, okay? Like some years ago, maybe, but now it's Gunther. And I'm starting to believe that Cena is going to win that last match because he lost to Dom. And I think that the point you guys made is perfect. They want to push Dom. They want to make him world champion at some point, babyface or heel. They want to make him the guy. Like, they want to make Bron Breakker the guy. All good. All good with me. But LA Knight is going to lose this matchup against Gunther. Look at that matchup. That doesn't seem like Gunther. That doesn't seem like LA Knight can survive that one. At least I don't think so.
Gonna have to eat some chops.
Yeah. So that and Cena has to do it too. But I think that that's gonna be great. Washington D.C. Man, that's gonna be awesome.
Man, I feel like if ultimately Cena, like, they're gonna have to convince Cena to go over, because it was his idea to fill out the card. Because he wants to show respect and kind of close the loop of, hey, I was this young kid who got this incredible opportunity from Kurt Angle, and I want to showcase that on the rest of the card for Saturday night's main events. Like, that's kind of an old school thing. Like, just the way we keep comparing it to AEW when Sting retired. Like, they had to convince Sting, no, you're going over in this match. We'll figure out the rest later, but you have to win this match. I don't feel it's as imperative for Cena, but I feel like Cena's going to want to say, hey, I should do the job for somebody on the way out the door. I feel like Cena's going to want to be that guy. And if they do want him to win, they're going to have to convince him and probably give him a pretty compelling reason why. Because it seems like, at least to me, the way that the whole heel thing went and the way that everybody tried to blame everybody else for how bad it was, right? Where Cena was pointing the finger at Triple H and Triple H was pointing the finger at Cena. It seems like this Saturday night's main event, he's kind of got some creative control. It seems like, hey, this is your last night. We're going to let you do what you want. And I think him doing what he wants includes him looking up at the lights for a three count.
Because that's best for business. And like, I think he gets that. And I hope everyone else gets that. Like that moves things along. Like him winning, it's a cool moment, but over there where wins and losses don't matter as much, like he can still take a loss and still be celebrated.
You're not allowed to use that phrase anymore. Best for business. Yeah, best for business. Seth. You're not allowed to use that. You're not allowed to use that anymore. You can't use it anymore. I'll tell you what, Brian, you let us know, because I won't be watching and Gabe's too busy. That new series of Unreal for this, all the setup for John Cena. Let's see if there is a boardroom that talks about who should go over and who shouldn't. Let's do that. I know that shows a work, but I look forward to seeing what that's about. Tell us about that Unreal episode. That's going to be fun.
I haven't watched it either.
You'll be watching it. Someone's got to watch it. You watch it.
It's on social media. It's fine.
we're about to have a lot more access to a lot of professional wrestling. I know we'll get to it later, but I mean, with TNA now being accessible to everybody, we've got a lot more options going on. Again, we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Before we get to the three count, there is something that we are very excited about here at GKW. And it is going to be happening here in Milwaukee for the Royal Rumble. We'll have a lot more details on this to come. But there is going to be a Royal Rumble watch party happening with Pottawatomie Casino Hotel right here in Milwaukee. Incredibly excited for it. GKW is going to be there. We're all going to be here. Like, this is such a big deal. Brian is flying up from Florida. Hood's jumping in the car. He's coming up from Chicago. We're going to be hanging out at Pottawatomie for the Royal Rumble on January 31st. I could not be more excited because, well, this is my favorite event. And now we're going to all be together for my favorite events at a great place in Pottawatomie Casino Hotel.
Yes, folks, this could happen for my favorite event, the Great American Bash. But no, it's happening for the game's favorite event, the Royal Rumble. Yeah, we're very excited about this because it's the first time ever that we've been able to come together and be able to watch a show together. So I'm overjoyed that this is done. And for those that are checking out our show in the Midwest, Chicago, Milwaukee, Iowa, Minnesota, make sure that you come to Milwaukee to spend time with us for a great event, the Royal Rumble. We got some surprises along the way as well that we're not announcing yet, but boy, it's going to be so much fun for all three of us and you to be with us in Milwaukee at Pottawatomie.
And a daytime Royal Rumble for the first time. Like, that'll be different and fun. Like, the sun's still going to be up. I think the sun's in Milwaukee, but like, the sun will be up during the day. We'll go from there.
I mean, it's January. Who could say? who can know if the sun's actually going to come out in Milwaukee in January? But it'll be hot inside Pottawatomie. That's all you need to know. It's going to be hot inside there. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have a lot more details on this as we go along. Like Hood said, we're going to have some surprises. But we're really excited for it's our first partnership here on GKW as well with Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. So you're going to be hearing a lot more about this as we get closer to the event, how you can attend, how it's all going to work. But we're going to be there for a live pre-show. We're going to be doing an immediate reaction post-show live from Pottawatomie as well. So we're going to be able to create some content around the Royal Rumble, the greatest event of the year.
Well, listen, and this is the first of many great opportunities for us at Good Karma Wrestling. Don't worry, Brian, you'll be able to get your show at Boca Raton Championship Wrestling. Gabe and I will come down to Boca and check out the chandeliers in the ceiling at Boca Raton Championship Wrestling. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's where MJF wrestled. It's good enough for him.
Then it's good enough for us.
Unbelievable.
We've got some other things to dive into. We call it the three count, other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. Brian, what's number one this week?
Bleacher Report put out the top 10 John Cena rivals of all time. Looking at the top five. Number five, Brock Lesnar. Number four, Randy Orton. Number three, The Rock. Number two, Edge. Number one, CM Punk. Who should top the list as Cena's biggest rival of his career?
I mean, I think they nailed this. I think Punk's number one. I think that the stories that they told, the matches that they had, like people still talk about the match that they had on a random, well, it wasn't a random, but a Monday Night Raw leading up to like Punk being upset that he's not wrestling for the championship. So he's going to wrestle Cena for that opportunity to wrestle Rock. And they put on one of the best matches of John Cena's career on a Monday Night Raw that, yes, included a pile driver that CM Punk delivered to John Cena. That thing happened like 12, 13 years ago, and it's still seared in my memory. Of course, they, you know, Punk's career really taking off in WWE around his rivalry with John Cena. To me, those two, they just complement each other so well. You think of, you know, what the story and the fun they were able to have in their final match earlier this year, where Punk comes out to Punk Life and you know, is able to kind of gimmick the John Cena Word Life gimmick. I think those two are the top rivals. I think they brought out the best in each other in ways that some of those other rivals did not with Cena.
Yeah, we have to remember, Brian, that the pipe bomb was part of this. The reason why that's a great rivalry is because it's one of the greatest promos of all time in Las Vegas. I'll never forget Las Vegas, Nevada. And there is CM Punk right down the ramp and just going after John Cena while Cena is injured in the ring. And so I just think the dichotomy between the two, Punk was just this, it's like this difficult guy to work with. And John Cena was the face of WWE. And so Punk being counterculture and then Cena being this white shining knight for WWE, I think that worked out well. Nothing against his matchups against The Rock or against Edge or Brock Lesnar, but it was just so different with Punk and with John Cena. So I think that is number one. I think that list is right.
So the one I would argue just from a longevity standpoint is Orton. I feel like there was so much there with the two of them. He's four on the list behind The Rock, Edge, and Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just like, yes, all the Cena Punk stuff is groundbreaking, essentially, and everything they did. But Orton, where, like, those two were literally, you know, fight forever.
They were fight forever, and maybe I could see, I mean, I know a lot of people also romanticize the Edge portion of that, because that's kind of in the same era. Like, I think I would argue that Rock could be number two on this list.
Really?
Because that was such a big deal. And they it was the first time, and again, this was part of what then launched CM Punk being so pissed off. Like, for the first time that I can remember, they literally said out loud a year before WrestleMania what the WrestleMania main event was going to be. It was going to be Cena versus The Rock. And that was, and I know Rock couldn't be around for it, but it was, you know, it was a 3-year thing. It started with what was a terrible WrestleMania in WrestleMania 27, where he ends up screwing Cena and making Miz a main event winner in WWE, launching then Once in a Lifetime, and then they had their final match together when Cena won the championship off of The Rock at WrestleMania 29. So I could make that, I think, because of how big that was and how big Rock was at the time, and him coming back and actually participating in these matches, them having the tag team against R-Truth and Miz. Like, I think you can make the argument that Rock, especially because it always seemed like when Rock wasn't there, Cena was always chasing that as well. Like, yes, he was having these good rivalries with Randy Orton, with Edge, but it seemed like he was chasing Rock as well, kind of taking shots at Rock along the way to try to finally get that rivalry that ultimately came through.
Does some of those hurt your reflection on Rock Cena though?
Like, well, that Rock didn't happen.
Okay, doesn't, all right, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't help.
Okay. Don't you see this? No, I didn't. Well, Gabe, we didn't recover that. That never happened. What do you mean? Right.
There is no spoon.
Maybe we'll see him next week.
Boom. No, we won't see him next week. That's the thing. No, no, oh God. No, we won't.
Oh God. You know how pissed off everybody would be if he all of a sudden shows up for Cena's last match.
And he can count. He can do the counting thing again. Everyone will be like, oh, what's that mean? Or, I don't know. Just
No. Here's the one thing about Dwayne Johnson. He loves to chase the hug. Okay. Uh-huh. So the idea that he comes out that he's going to be solidly booed in DC because you ruined Christmas, meaning WrestleMania. Like, you ruined the holiday. So he don't want that smoke. Maybe in the back, right? For the documentary, man. But coming out there, peeking his head out there, if you smell, no. Right. You and Travis Scott ruined Christmas.
He would get booed more than when he got booed after Roman won the Rumble. And he came out to try to save Roman. And they just went, nah, screw it. We're booing Rock too.
No, loves to be loved, Dwayne Johnson. Just ask him. But no. This is John Cena's moment, man. Some of the other ones too. Like, do you have the further list? Because JBL was a very good battle between those two. Bloody battles between those two.
So JBL not top 10. So 6 through 10. Wondering if you put any of them top 5. Number 6, AJ Styles. Number 7, Batista. Number 8, Kurt Angle. Number 9, Shawn Michaels. Number 10, Bray Wyatt. Moving any of them up?
That sounds 6 through 10. That's not bad, but I think that matters.
I think I would sneak JBL in there somewhere. Maybe I get the Angle part, but if Angle would have stuck around in WWE, like I think that could have been really big. But I mean, they didn't cross over. They obviously had the first match against each other. They didn't cross over a ton because ultimately Kurt Angle ended up in TNA.
I think also the Bray part, like as much as we remember the Mania match,
yeah,
don't remember much outside of that. And the Mania match was awesome. And it was innovative at that time. Like the whole everything, the NWO part, but like I don't remember much else rivalry-wise.
I think about that once a month with Cena in the NWO shirt. Yeah. Just once a month. Just like what could have been, right? Like that's how you do the heel thing, not being able to be forced into it, the BS that they were doing. But yeah, him in an NWO shirt was cool.
See, I just think of Titus O'Neil just what did like after the match is over and they cut to Titus and he's like, what the hell did I just watch?
Yeah.
What was that? That's what I think. But again, it was different. It was, but because it is so memorable, I understand why that ends up at number 10 over like JBL. Because that's such a memorable part of the Thunderdome WrestleMania.
Who do you think that Cena would have liked to take on in his retirement tour? I feel like I'm leaning toward Edge. Like he would have wanted Adam Copeland one more time.
Yeah. I think that's probably the only one they're missing. I mean, I don't know if you would have wanted JBL one more time. He got the AJ Styles. Man, AJ Styles being that far up was that one's a little surprising to me. Maybe I just don't remember that as fondly as everybody else. I mean, I remember it, but I don't think of it as like, oh man, this thing was legendary.
The other, the one more is Angle. Obviously, health prevents that.
I wish Angle had one more match. I wish he did. Yeah.
I think that would be John's. I think he would have rather faced Kurt Angle than Edge. I think if he could have had one more, if he had a magic wand, he would make Kurt Angle healthy instead of somehow getting Cope out of his AEW deal to come over to WWE. If he had the wish, I think he would go Kurt Angle being healthy so he could have one last match.
I'll go a step further. I would take Kurt Angle against John Cena in Washington, D.C. over Gunther.
Yeah. No disagreement here.
Retirement match for both? Giving them the send-off they both deserve? Yeah. Hell yeah.
I love that.
Things that never happened. We can ignore the Angle retirement match. And say, all right, this is how we're doing it.
Yeah, we're not doing Bum Corbin.
Right.
We're not doing that for your last match in wrestling.
Yeah, it'd be the first time we'd actually encourage someone coming out of retirement to have a different retirement match.
I wish. But no, it's this is a great moment for wrestling fans of a certain generation, guys, to see Cena leaving the business. And not one of these things where he's going to return like Terry Funk or Ric Flair or these guys. Like, he's really done. He knows that he's done. So I'm all for him. Go ahead.
He's still going to be back. Like he's still
wrestling, Gabe. He's not going to be in main event matches anymore. That's my point.
No.
So it did come out this week, April 21st, Las Vegas, Raw after Mania. Cena is advertised for it.
That's what I was about to say. Cena's advertised for the Raw after Mania. Like, he's not even going to be going long enough that we're going to miss him before he comes back.
Does that mean he's Hall of Fame this year?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
First and foremost, they have to figure out Batista. Like, if Batista is available, Batista's, like, the headliner, so he can do his speech and do the whole nine yards. Like, Cena's still going to be around plenty. Like, he can open up, you know, Hall of Fame stuff. But that's where I would start. I would start with Batista and then figure it out from there. And if Batista's not available, then yes, Cena can be the headliner this year.
You're saying Stephanie's not the headliner? She's going in this year. Remember they announced that 18 years ago, it feels like.
That is correct. With Bautista, when he does get his accolades and gets his award, he's going to do the wave. He's going to say goodbye again. The short wave and then leave the business again.
God, that guy's lost a ton of weight. But I digress. We've got other things we've got to dive into. What do we have at number two this week, Brian?
All right. We had a guest join us earlier this week talking about different eras of wrestling. How about the guy that was partly responsible for the Attitude Era? A lot responsible for the Attitude Era? We caught up with...
Depends upon who you talk to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll ask him about it. We caught up with Vince Russo earlier this week.
Bro. Excited to talk to our next guest here on GKW. He is now part of JCW Wrestling. Make sure you check out JCW Lunacy. It airs Thursday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern time over on YouTube. They're going to be in my neck of the woods right here in Milwaukee at the Eagles Club, part of the Big Ballas holiday party for JCW. He is Vince Russo. Vince, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for hopping on, man.
Yeah, what is going on, gentlemen? I am happy to be here.
So let's start with your, you know, with your involvement now with JCW. What made you want to jump back into the world of professional wrestling?
Well, man, I did not want to jump back into by any stretch of the imagination. But Violent J and myself, we have a mutual friend by the name of Sean Oliver. A lot of people may know Sean through Kayfabe commentaries. He also does Kevin Nash's podcast. And, you know, I've known Sean a long time. Sean wrote a book for ICP. And, you know, Sean kind of brought the two of us together. I've worked with Jay before. I worked with him at WWE, WCW. Always thought very, very highly of the guy. But, I mean, trust me, man, I was not looking to get back into wrestling by any stretch of the imagination. And it literally took... I would say about 9 months of talks between me and Jay. It was on again, off again, on again, off again. So what happened was they were on a loop and 2 days were in Denver. So I'm like, you know what? It's right in my backyard. It was 20, 30 minutes from my house. I'm going to commit to the 2 days in Denver and we'll see what happens. And I went to the 2 days in Denver. Then I went on the road with them for the next 2 days. And man, I fell in love with the situation. I fell in love with his roster. I fell in love with the crew. Jay, 4 days around Violent Jay. This is a brilliant, brilliant guy. And I'll be honest, man, I went into this expecting the absolute worst. I really did. And I came out of it having a great, great, great experience, and I couldn't wait to go back.
Vince, you always use shades of pop culture in your writing over the years in wrestling. You use Seinfeld. You use Howard Stern at his peak. I'm just wondering today, with today's TV shows and today's pop culture, how can you utilize what's happening in 2025 with what you're writing or working with in wrestling?
I've got some, can I say girl? Is that politically correct? Am I allowed to say girl or do I got to say woman? I got some woman on the roster. We're about, what, 5 shows in? And she's playing a Me Too card. She's playing a Me Too card with me. She claims to have pictures. Now, this is a slippery slope because I know no pictures exist, but we also know with AI, you can create any kind of pictures you want. So it's a slippery slope, but that's exactly how you incorporate what's going on in the world with a wrestling show today.
Like me too. Me too. Yes,
okay. Absolutely. Yes.
And imagine AI in the Attitude Era, what you could have done there.
Oh my gosh, forget about it. And yeah, man, we've already implemented drug testing. So yeah, trust me, there are going to be so many things discussed in the show and covered in the show that are just so taboo and no other wrestling show would go anywhere near it.
So sort of along those lines, how different is today's pro wrestling world from the one you left years ago?
Wow, bro. That's a real interesting question. I think, quite frankly, because if we go back at the Attitude Era, just say we go back to 99, say we go back 25 years. God, bro, I think today's world is much more wackier. I think there are such crazy things going on in the world, and those things are going to be incorporated into the show. I cannot believe, man, during COVID, the WWE is playing in an empty arena, and they never discuss COVID. They never brought up COVID. Then they've got the true. What was that group with Lashley? The Hurt Business. Bro, they got the Hurt Business in the middle of Black Lives Matter and never bring up Black Lives Matter. And that's where I think they're really, really falling short. And everything going on in society is going to get brought into this show.
Again, JCW Lunacy airs Thursday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern time over on YouTube. Is this kind of... And again, I know when the height of the Attitude Era, the numbers were insane. What the shows were getting on TV, and the numbers aren't anywhere near that from everything that's on mainstream today. But considering you have YouTube, so a show like yours can air. We found out earlier today that TNA is going to be airing on AMC. Is this kind of a emergence and another golden era of professional wrestling because of how much can be created and consumed in 2025?
Man, it's only going to be a golden era of professional wrestling if the wrestling is good. I mean, seriously, because the people they've driven away are the casual fans. Those are the people no longer watching wrestling anymore, because we really went from sports entertainment back to wrestling. And if you're not a traditional wrestling fan, you're not going to watch WWE. You're not going to watch AEW. So it really, I don't care how much wrestling there is, it really depends on the brand and style of wrestling you're getting.
I want to know about in your past and maybe in your present about how you set up a story or you set up a personality for someone, and how sometimes that's a disconnect in the ring. You are not a wrestling person, Vince. You are a writing person, brings out the most out of personalities. What about the disconnect there over the years? You can give an example of, hey, I wrote this for you. I think this verbiage is great, but sometimes it's a disconnect actually in the ring.
Yeah, I don't think it's really a disconnect in the ring, because that's where you have your wrestling guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll have two characters. I'll write a story. They have to tell that story in the ring. So that is going to be up to the talent, but it's also going to be up to the agent overseeing that match. And I got to tell you, man, really the in-ring work, Violent J is great at that stuff. I mean, he loves wrestling. He started this company, 26 years ago? He's got an eye for that. So with me working closely with him and developing the stories, and now he knows how that has to translate into the ring, I don't think it's going to be a disconnect. I think it's, we all have to stay in our lanes and do what we're best at. And I think it's the combination of the right people that's going to make it successful.
One of those guys that does the wrestling, that does the business, friend of the show, Matt Cardona, going to be involved in JCW. How good is someone like that for the business that's willing to do so many different things?
Oh, no, bro, tremendous. And we have veterans like that. You know, we have James Storm. I've known James Storm since, God, 25 years. You know, Mr. Anderson, Ken Anderson was at the last TV tapings. We have veterans like that, like you said, Matt Cardona, that are a part of the company, and they are a tremendous, tremendous help, especially, like you said, when you start talking about the psychological aspect of wrestling. Guys like that are just great to have on the roster.
So if somebody wants to dive in right now to JCW Lunacy or come to the show here in Milwaukee on December 19th, what's the big story? What's the big story you're trying to hook people on right now?
Well, you know, there was a new investor in the company, and there was a false flag for a couple of weeks. And at the end of last week's show, we found out that I indeed am the new investor, and I have vowed and promise to turn things upside down. And I could tell you, man, this Thursday's episode, I think it's the best one we've done yet. And you certainly are not going to want to miss the end of the show.
Okay, I like to make a pitch, Vince, since I'm a fan. May I make a pitch?
Go for it, man.
One of the biggest images in wrestling over 30 years is you with the Giants jersey, with, you know, draped over the top rope in a situation that I know you didn't want to be in with Hogan and Jarrett, but yet that look, that vision of just, I'm so tired of this bullshit, and I'm going to show you that I'm so tired because I'm draping myself over the top rope. It's one of the great images in wrestling of what you have to deal with behind the scenes. Will that person come back? Will we see that Vince Russo come back of someone that's got the Giants jersey, maybe darken the hair, just as a throwback, just as a reminder?
I have to be totally honest with you. There are too many podcasters in the wrestling world that dye their hair, and it drives me absolutely nuts. Because here's the bottom line. If you're dyeing your hair, you're obviously trying to hide your age, and you're lying about your age. So you're lying about your age, and you want me to believe what you're saying? I am not a fan of that, man. This is the hair you're going to get. Hey, I might throw on my ICP jersey. I got some ICP. I love the jerseys, so you'll see me in a jersey, but I don't think you're ever going to see me dry this hair. But you are going to see the character, Vince Russo, 20 years later, you know, having aged, having a lot more, you know, wisdom and experience, you're going to see that guy.
When it comes to your experience in this profession, what's the one story you're going to look back on and say, this could have been better, just something missed, that you still look back like?
Yeah, bro, I always look back on Goldust, and it was not our fault. It was that people did not understand the Goldust character. And, you know, sponsors and advertisers and stuff like that started getting on us, and we had to pull the plug on that character. And that really, 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 really killed me, because people didn't understand Goldust. I just thought he could have been a huge heel, and we only scratched the surface with him.
So, Vince, how hard can it be to write a retirement angle? We're obviously seeing the John Cena retirement tour going on right now. One date left on that. They decided to do a tournament for his final opponent. And then somebody that you worked closely with, AJ Styles, he said he's going to be done at some point in 2026. So a retirement angle's got to be coming soon for him. How difficult can it be to kind of be able to write something and tell a compelling story for somebody on the way out the door?
God, bro, you're talking about writing and you're talking about compelling stories. Okay. The answer to your question is not difficult at all. Triple H is not a writer. Period. End of story. He knows nothing about writing for characters. He knows nothing about dialogue. He knows nothing about storylines. He's not a writer. And that is why you are getting a show that is 90% wrestling, because that is what he knows. That is the problem. Guys, I swear to you, and I should not be saying this, okay? When you have defined characters, bro, this shit writes itself. It really, really does, because if you know your characters and you put yourself in the shoes of every character, every character is just going to react like they would in that situation. It's that simple. Like, here's a perfect example, guys, and this is what I'm talking about. We had the Survivor Series Saturday night. We had War Games. The baby faces get screwed by a man under a hood. We go to Monday Night Raw and none of the baby faces are on the show? That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's it in a nutshell. These guys got screwed out of a major, major match, and they didn't even care enough to show up and try to find out who the guy was. That's exactly what I mean, bro. That is horrible. That is the worst level of writing you can possibly display. Absolutely atrocious. And you will see with JCW, everything goes from one week to the next, to the next, to the next. And it's organic. It literally just writes itself.
And speaking of, one of the things that you did at your height, and I'm sure you'll be doing this here at JCW, Vince, you always got everybody on the show. either in the ring or in a promo, because now I'm not looking at five things in WWE. Now I'm looking at 10. I'm looking at 12, and I can't wait to see it every other week. And so what was that experience like? Because you had to come up with that somehow to be able to say everyone has a role on the card somehow, some way. How difficult is that to do even now in 2025 for you?
Bro, it's not difficult at all. The problem is it takes time. You can't immediately just flip everything. And we just shot our last show on November 22nd. And that was the 10th show that I wrote. And I could tell you, with that show, everybody is in a storyline. Every character is on TV. Every match is storyline driven. So the reality of it is, honestly, it took me about 2.5 months to kind of build that foundation. But by the time we got to that show, it's full throttle. Everybody's involved. Everybody has a storyline. Every match has meaning. Every match means something. So it took about 2.5 months to get to that point.
You'd be so fried if you had to do that in AEW. The 200 people, you couldn't get everybody on the card there. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. You see, that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is you got Tony Khan and you've got Triple H, and they're wrestling people. Okay. But bro, it is my biggest pet peeve to think that anybody can write a wrestling show. Well, if anybody can write a wrestling show, then why has nobody come close to ratings from 25 years ago? The Attitude Era, bro, was almost 30 years ago. Have we topped that? No, because not everybody can be a writer. And the problem is Triple H and Tony Khan are wrestling people. So they are writing a show that they like. That's the problem. And by writing a show that they like, they've turned the mass audience into a very niche audience. That's what they're dealing with now. My writing is, I want everybody to watch this show. I don't care whether you're a wrestling fan or not. There's going to be everything in this show, because that's how you open it up to bring people in to watch the show that aren't necessarily wrestling fans.
When it comes to that writing of yours, what is the piece of entertainment, TV, movie that has influenced you the most through the years? Where you look at it and say, oh, that's good shit. I want to do more of that.
God, bro, it's probably a combination of a lot of things. But I could tell you, man, when we were writing the Attitude Era, it was the Springer Show. I mean, there was no question about that. We used to have Jerry Springer on in the background when we were writing the shows. And again, it was the crazy characters. It was the conflict. There was no boundaries. Anything went. And that was really a big part of Raw back then.
How different is it writing week to week versus writing for a block of shows that you have to tape to put out? You know, obviously little by little, but you're taping them all at the same time. What's the difference?
Yeah, and bro, that's a lot of the JCW schedule, bro. I know in January, I think they're going out for like 14 straight days. So, you know, I literally have to sit here and write 14 shows. But, you know, like I tell you guys, it's organic. They write themselves. I know what happened last week. Now, this is how I always do it, guys. I've never stopped doing it this way. If this were real, what would happen? So think about it, bro. The baby faces at the WWE get screwed at the Survivor Series. What would happen? Logically, what would happen? I'll tell you what wouldn't happen. They certainly would not show up for the first Monday Night Raw. It's guys, it's all logic. It's all logic. What would Austin do if Vince McMahon did this? It's logic. You just got to write it logically.
Vince, I know you've done a lot of these, but I just need to have confirmation right now.
You got it.
Wrestling. Go I need confirmation. It. Vince, you're not taking a bump at your age. No more football helmet. just tell us no more, correct?
I can't tell you that with a clear conscience.
You never know. The genius behind Listen, it. You don't need to do
bro,
that.
I'm going to be 65 in January. I'll be 65, but man, you never know. You just never know.
Oh my God.
You know?
You don't need to do
this. When you got to take one for the team, man. Sometimes you got to take one for the team, man. That's how it is.
He's a team player, Hood. What do you want, man?
That's it.
I didn't want to see it in WCW. I wanted you to be healthy there. I didn't want you to be, you know, hit your head against the cage. Nobody wants to see that.
Oh, man, I got concussion on top of concussion on top of concussion at WCW, man. Brutal.
And that was just management. That was ownership.
It wasn't exactly. Exactly. 1,000%. Exactly. Yes.
It wasn't even the cage match with Goldberg.
Yes, it wasn't. Yes.
He is Vince Russo. Again, JCW Lunacy. It airs Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube. If you're in Milwaukee, go check him out at the Eagles Room right here in Milwaukee as they've got the event coming up on December 19th. Vince, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it and look forward to seeing more of you on JCW.
Thank you, guys. It was a blast. Anytime you want to bring me on, just let me know and I'll be here.
Well, hopefully he'll be available, assuming he doesn't take that bump that Hood was trying to promise him not to take.
He was just trying to help him out there.
Yeah. Look, before we go to the next thing, I just want to point out something in our conversation with him. So I asked and Brian asked in the same interview, so what do you watch today that gets your juices flowing as a writer? Bro, let me tell you about Jerry Springer. Like, so if you have nothing today, because in his writing, it was always something that was pop culture for his time, as you remember in the 90s, right? It was Howard Stern. It was Jerry Springer. That's the stuff that he specialized in. But Brian asked him directly, and I asked him in a roundabout way, like, hey, so what gets you going now? The things, you know, bro, Black Lives Matter. Like, and then you're asking him about, like, you know, TV shows today. Couldn't give you one.
Right. And it's interesting says they want to try and get as many people because, you know, he flat out says, like, we don't need to be wrestling people. Like, he says that's Triple H and Tony Khan's issues. They're like, they're wrestling fans. So I guess just trying to get different people is sort of all that matters to him, as many as possible.
Gabe, if you're still trying to write like you did in the 90s in 2025, mm-hmm. that will show.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm not shitting on the show. I'm just saying, like, if he can't give you something fresh from pop culture today, and he's still talking about Jerry Springer. Springer's not on TV anymore. He's dead.
RIP to a WWE Hall of Famer. Right. Let's go on. What do we got at number three this week, Brian?
In the world of AEW, reports coming out, Darby Allin having to be hospitalized after last week's Continental Classic match. TBD on if he can continue. But if Darby is not in the Continental Classic, who should replace him?
So they're selling this as like injuries from blood and guts, right? Oh, like blood and guts. He got set on fire, and that's at least kayfabe wise. That's what they're trying to sell. You know, push this off as like, he was so beat up. That. Like, look, I'm not saying it's logical, Brian. Okay. I'm just saying I think this is what they're doing.
Careful, he'll slap you.
Which could be again, if he is actually healthy enough to go, it could be an interesting way to go. Because again, as we talk about every year with the Continental Classic, they load this thing up, and somebody has to take these losses. As it goes, you know, at times we've seen that BJ Briscoe and, you know, and Darby could be a guy that takes these losses as part of a comeback story of, hey, he's beat up, but he's trying to fight his way through, can still screw somebody over like Pac, on his, you know, in that, division that he's in. I forget who's in the blue and who's in the gold at this point. But I know those two are together, but if he can, you know, if he screws over, you know, Pac as part of a, continuation of the storyline between, you know, Darby and the Death Riders, like there could be something interesting here of, oh, okay, Darby's taking these losses, but then you can explain it off as, well, he's hurt. He probably shouldn't be wrestling anyway.
So is Bandido in this?
No. So that you're old reliable. Yeah.
I mean, and listen, it's a locker room filled with like 800 people. Uh-huh. I just pulled that name because he is one of the big baby faces in the company.
Yeah, that's right. Like the names I wrote down are the old reliables that, you know, will give you Matt. So Bandido, Brody King, Shelton Benjamin, like, yeah, just go out there, do your thing for 20 minutes. Like, that's what those guys are there. You have them in the locker room, why not use them?
Well, Brody King would, again, make the most sense because, I mean, I would say his until he was a tag team champion with Bandido, his best work was in the Continental Classic.
Yes.
I mean, unfortunately, they didn't put him over enough in the Continental Classic, but he was putting on great match after great match, and the crowd was unbelievably behind him. And I think you could kind of recapture that as well.
I even wonder if there's some, like, younger, I don't know, or, like, fresher talent that we don't see on TV that you know can go, that we get those moments. Like, the guys with Ricochet, I don't know which one's with. But, like, anytime we see them on TV, the guys with Ricochet.
Yes, Toa Leona.
Uh-huh. And?
And his tag team partner.
Okay.
Marty Jannetty. Okay.
Like, give me one of those. Like, that'll work. One of those guys out there.
Yeah, yeah. You talk about for something fresh and new. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Sure.
And they could even win. That's fine.
Yeah, because whoever the replacement is for Darby, they're not winning.
Right.
Hell, based on Wednesday's show in Fishers, Indiana, shit, that should be Claudio Castagnoli. He looks strong. Wins the CMLL championship. Uh-huh. Strong against Moxley. Like, there's a guy right there who's always been fantastic, by the way. Always productive. But, like, you see him in that light beating the head of the Death Riders. That's a guy that should win the Continental Classic.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's... I'm surprised they did that match so early.
I know.
I know. It should have been toward the end of the tournament, building up suspension. But I guess if they want Mox's losing streak to kind of continue, they had to do it earlier, because if Mox is already out of it late, then it kind of loses its luster. I'm really curious to see what they do with that. It feels like, because Mox already has a win, like, so it's not like Mox loses to everybody, but losing to Claudio, I thought, would have more meaning if it was later in the tournament and potentially one of those two spots in the semifinals would be on the line.
Gabe, how often have we said this about the Continental Classic? This match is too early. Haven't we been here before? Then we do this with Athena and, was it Mercedes or Athena and Tony Storm, something like that? We've been there before. Like, why are you putting these matches? But they're trying to pop a number. And by the way, I'm all for that match. It was fantastic. I agree with you that I didn't expect that early in the tournament.
That's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. And with Darby, yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anybody else on that roster up and down. Again, maybe somebody from ROH. What about Sam? I know Sammy's wrestling in Final Battle for ROH. Sure. I mean, kind of fresh coat of paint on Sammy. I know he has not been on, I mean, he hasn't been on AEW television in a long time. And he was once looked at as one of the four pillars.
True.
Him potentially, you know, sliding into a spot of a fellow four pillar. Like, could that be a way to reintroduce Sammy Guevara?
I'm all for that. Are we going to omit Daddy Magic back in the fold?
He had a good match on Thanksgiving.
He looked good.
Yeah.
He had another 5-minute epic meltdown promo too in the back.
So good.
We need to bring him back on to we you know what we did, if for those of you watching us for the first time or just jumping on the show, we have taken care of Daddy Magic by giving him pep talks, you see.
Yes.
And to let him know that, like, the beginning of this year, you're gonna be good. You think I'm gonna be good? Like, yeah, you're gonna be great, man. Like, so we gotta do that again for next year to help him out, you know.
It's just apparently a part of the other than Danielson at this point. If you're a former wrestler and you're jumping on the commentary table, you got to get back in action. We're seeing Nigel wrestling ROH. We're getting Daddy Magic back into the fold here. Like, that's just, it's the way it goes in AEW now.
Brian said he's not fully retired. He's just not the old Brian Danielson. Big Show also this week said not fully retired. Maybe they roll him out there.
Well, he also said he wants to have a full time run before he, like, hangs up the boots again. So, but he's got to get healthy enough.
That's not happening. I want him in the booth. I don't want him in the ring. I want him to commentate. That's not, unfortunately for him, that's not happening. But there's so many guys, and I have the roster in front of me, but who fits? I think that we mentioned five or six wrestlers that could fit in that spot. Win, lose, whatever, is Darby's spot. Not available. They could wrestle. Well, it's fine.
But as the beauty of the Continental Classic, yes, there's going to be a champion, and yes, that obviously ends up being important. But as I mentioned with Brody King, like, if you go out there and you're putting on really good matches in AEW, that still means something. And that can, with the audience that they have, that can kind of open the door again for somebody like that who can, oh, there might be something here, and eventually they can build something the way Brody King. Again, I firmly believe Brody King becoming a tag team champion started with his performance in the C2.
Yeah.
Because he grabbed everybody's attention.
Yeah, speaking of Nigel, put him in there. I slide in there with his Sundial Wrestling. It's just move chain wrestling. It's like Iowa basketball, Gabe. Just like it's like four quarters offense of Nigel McGuinness. That slow down style of wrestling. Put that in the ring. That works. Shout out to Iowa basketball.
Shout out to Iowa basketball.
Shout out to the play-by-play man's dream of Iowa basketball. Pass to the right side, pass to the left side. Pass to the right corner, pass to the left corner. Top of the circle for three, miss. And the rebound controlled by Minnesota. That's Nigel McGuinness wrestling. Same way. I love it.
All right, boys, what do we have in news and notes this week?
Well, get plenty of Nigel Friday night in Columbus, ROH final battle. Nigel, part of that show, a 30-minute Ironman match against Lee Moriarty. Some other matches on the show, Athena versus Persephone for the ROH women's title, Mercedes versus Red Velvet for the ROH women's title, and the world title, bunch of guys, Bandido, Blake Christian, Beast Mordo, Sammy Guevara, Commander, and Hechicero, all battling for that title.
Ugh. It's too many. It's just nobody gets over. Just spot fest for the world title. Okay.
All right.
I'm trying to debate when the next time is that I'm actually going to be worried that or think that Athena could lose that championship.
Never a threat, especially not against Red Velvet.
No.
Good wrestler, but not. But if you
wrestler, this, it'll be a good match, but yeah.
Well, you don't build it.
Persephone, it was very good. Red Velvet's taking on Mercedes, but like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Same. Either way, Persephone is not winning.
Right.
The fact that we got it confused tells you everything you need to know about Athena's chances of retaining that championship.
Persephone, again, is the same difference. Fine wrestler, it's going to be a quality match.
Yeah.
Athena will win. And by the way, all good, but you just want to have someone that you feel like, oh, there's a threat to her losing the championship, and you hardly ever get it.
It has to be Billy, right? Like, they've done it a few times. Mm-hmm. They put on bangers, but, like, that's how you ultimately end this?
Well, some of her best matches against her, there's no question. But it's never where you feel like, oh, my God, she's going to lose the title here. You know, so
bring back Britt.
Damn right, bring back Britt. Absolutely. You don't have nothing for her? You do have some for her. It's called ROH.
Well, I mean, look, she's Britt Baker. Like, you come up with something pretty easily, I would like to think, but maybe I'm wrong.
Pain in the ass.
On your television, TNA Wrestling announcing this week a new TV deal moving to AMC starting January 15th. Thursday Night Impact will air from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Some people thought they might have gone head-to-head with Dynamite. It'll be Thursday nights. They also be streaming on AMC+.
From the network that brought you Mad Men, TNA Wrestling.
Listen, shout out to TNA Wrestling because they are the grandma that won't die. It is amazing. TNA, from everything they've gone through, from the Pop Channel to the TV Guide Channel to Spike to Fox Sports, they have lasted a long time. Just when you thought, guys, that they were going to be dead, they finally pop what I would say a significant TV deal, even if it's for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. It's on AMC and a well-watched AMC. Good for them. Good for them. But it's funny because Carlos Silva says that WWE didn't really have anything to do with the deal.
Yeah, but another TNA executive said that they were very helpful in it. So,
don't think you can make that deal without WWE.
I mean, this is a station you can find. Like, I checked YouTube TV this morning. It's there.
It's on. Yes, it is on YouTube TV. Yes. But also, what this tells me is if AMC is interested in wrestling, that no matter what happens, because there's a lot of drama happening with Warner Brothers Discovery, who are they going to sell to? Are they going to sell, like, Netflix apparently has like a cash offer. Paramount has an all cash offer. Netflix was mostly cash. Like, whoever ends up acquiring that, even if they split off some of it, and I feel very confident that with what they've been able to do versus what TNA's been able to do, they're going to find a television partner, even if the new owner of TBS and TNT decides, no, we don't want to be in the wrestling business. I think they would be able to find a TV deal rather quickly.
Yes, I 100% agree. I'm just amazed that TNA is still doing this, that they can still, with that roster. And again, it's helped with NXT too. But the whole thing is that it'll be a very watchable product. I don't expect them to go through the roof from a rating standpoint because it's still Thursdays. But good for them. And by the way, we don't have it confirmed. I don't know if you have that, Brian. I don't think they're live every week. I think this first one is live, right?
Yeah, that's still TBD on how often they will actually be live. Which
good. Fine.
To me, the biggest thing, like, there are times I see stuff, I'm like, oh, I want to watch that. And, like, I don't know where to find it currently. So now at least, like, all right, I can add it to the DVR. And if I want to watch something, I can.
Yeah, right, I think that makes the most sense.
So that'll be your beat. Okay. Thursdays. That'll be you.
Impact.
No, you take care of it. I'm on ROH duty, remember?
Maybe we become the pre-show. We'll lead into it on Thursday nights.
Well, that was kind of the idea, I thought. What a time that we were the lead-in for TNA until we found out only a quarter of the country can watch it. So I think that we are the pre-game show now. That we have to do a little bit more TNA talk, I would say. Yes. Yeah. Part of the news and notes. Go ahead.
There we go. Yeah, I was about to say, part of news and notes, because as long as Frankie Kazarian's your champ, I don't know if you're making it to the main part of the show.
Speaking of wrestling, being in a spotlight, friend of the show, the first and fourth U.S. Women's Champion, Chelsea Green, said on the BobbyCast podcast that every week she's bothering the higher-ups to get her a spot on Dancing with the Stars. Stacey Keibler, The Miz, and Nikki Bella have all been on the show in the past.
Look, if our United States Women Champion wants to put her mind to something, I fully believe she's going to accomplish it. I think that she will be on Dancing with the Stars. I think she'll kill it at some point.
I think that she should be on it in character.
There we go.
Oh, not well. Yeah, no, it has to be. complaining to the judges the way she does. Come up with nicknames for the judges, like she has for Nick Aldis
Adam Pearce.
Just do that. Do the whole gimmick in front of a national TV audience and see if anybody else catches on.
But I have no idea if she can dance, but I know she can act and wrestle. So I want that aspect on there. And then, you know how reality TV works. She actually could last a few weeks. She wouldn't be bounced off in the first week. She'd be around just because she's crazy. The antics, you know? So I think that'd be fun.
She's awesome. And finally, news and notes. It's been discovered this week. WWE content going to be leaving Peacock at the end of the year. It does look like WCW, ECW, and some territory stuff set to expire. The original Peacock deal was supposed to go through March of 26th. No word yet on where all this stuff will be found moving forward.
So, I mean, what is their deal? Because obviously they still have some sort of deal, and they work with NBC Universal because SmackDown's on USA. But Saturday Night's Main Event is continuing into 2026 because we're getting one in January on Peacock. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what the hell's going on with this deal? Or did WWE just blow it up because they got so excited about this ESPN thing that they didn't care and they're going to figure it all out later?
I saw the news and note on that, Brian, and I will just tell you that I'm just locked in on the WWE vault. Wherever they put the rest of it's fine. They do a tremendous job of getting these nuggets deep into the vault, like stuff that we've only dreamed about, like dream matches and like house show cards. It's like, what in the hell? Where'd you get this from? And they lace up the reel and they put it on for us, and it's good shit. And also, wherever they house everything else is fine. But that vault, though, it's the best it's been in a long, I think, ever in WWE.
Yeah, man. I think going back to the original network when that launched, like I used to love, remember it was like continuous. Like you just pop on the network, you go to the website and just something's playing. It was like, all right, I guess that's what we're watching right now.
The best. It's tremendous.
Those libraries are valuable. Remember that was a big deal about why Tony bought ROH was strictly for the library. So it'll end up somewhere, I assume, on ESPN?
I don't know.
Maybe? Like, where else?
Netflix?
Jonathan Zaslow saying, what you know about that library? I'm sure he'd be saying that someplace. The WWE library.
Yeah.
ESPN. Wow. That, I mean, sure. But then we don't know how long this deal will last. I'm talking about all the way through.
Right.
Yeah, have you heard the whispers about ESPN and WWE? There's some unhappiness there. Did you see that?
I I saw that, and then I saw Sean Ross Sapp reporting that the people he talked to said that wasn't correct. At least the people that he talked to on both sides everybody seemed to be playing along. So
Freddie Prinze Jr. is the one that like originally put that out there. He said he's heard ESPN not happy with these first couple PLEs. But I mean, it's been refuted, but also it's WWE and TKO, so I don't know if they're the most honorable and trustworthy with that stuff. So,
well, their next PLE is the Rumble, which again, the Rumble just kind of stands. The Rumble formula has been basically what the formula was for Survivor Series of you've got these two big matches and then you have a match or two in between to kind of separate them. What's going to be interesting is what happens after that. Like, yeah. are they going to have more than four or five matches on a card? If we start to see some changes from what has been non-premium PLEs from Triple H, then I think we know if these whispers and rumors have any truth to them.
Well, sort of transitioning then. So in terms of matches of the week, of those four, any of them make your cut this week from Survivor Series?
From San Diego? So the men's and women's war games, the women was more impressive than the men to me.
Yes.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't outstanding, but yes, if you compare the two of them to each other.
But here's the problem, and we knew this going in when we previewed it last week. We knew War Games would be Team U, Blood and Guts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? We just knew it would be less than, so it was. Mm-hmm.
Well, and again, then the problem becomes you have four matches on the card, and two of them have interference, one of which had a giant cage outside of the ring to try to prevent said interference, and then we get no furtherance of that storyline, as we heard our guest Vince Russo scream multiple times during his appearance. We really don't get any further explanations, anything of that storyline, other than a half-assed denial from Paul Heyman. But again, like this is the Triple H booking where you have so many interferences. And it happened again on Monday night. I'm enjoying a fun tag team match that gets disrupted by the Kabuki Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Every single main event every week. That's just how it ends. Like an outstanding tag match in the main event of Raw, but God forbid we have a winner.
But I mean, luckily, yeah. But the one from Raw that does make it, the tag team championship on the men's, like that was a lot of fun with New Day versus AJ Styles, and the way they ended that with the stomp on the back popping up Kofi Kingston into position for a Styles clash. Pretty creative and fun finish there. So that one made my list because you got a clean finish. You got a full match, clean finish. Who knew that was actually possible in a championship match in WWE?
Yes, you can do that.
Ron versus Punk in January on Netflix.
Awesome. Awesome.
Got to wait a month for that.
That's a good tease. I got no problem with that. But I think that Tony Khan and Triple H have something in common. They all tell you how epic and how great things are. And he said after Survivor Series that Monday Night Raw would be epic. Was that an epic Monday Night Raw? Do you think that was epic?
No. It was fine.
They are over promising and under delivering. The opposite of our actual company.
Right.
they're actually under delivering, I mean, in a big way.
Honestly, I think my favorite part of Monday Night Raw was the vignette they had with Natalya and Maxine Dupri. I think that was because maybe this is just me being wishful and hopeful thinking that they're teasing Natty. Not Natalya. That Natty is going to be a part of WWE, because that wasn't Natalya. That was Natty. That was black and white. That was her being a badass and training in the ring with Maxine. Like, that wasn't Natalya. That was Natty.
I love that. Brian, that's a good thing. Like, that's 100%. If you're getting like GCW or NWA Natalya being Natty,
yes.
Because there's a reason why she was on there, is because we're going to get that match. Rumble, WrestleMania, but we're going to get that match where Natty's going to win the title. I don't think there's any question about that. As Natty, if that's who you're going to unleash, let's go. I'm all for that. Because that's a different coat of paint on a character right there that I'm sure the WWE fans have not seen. We've seen it, and it's awesome when she gets in there and does what she does.
And even like,
please unleash Natty. Please.
Like, mm-hmm. The women's tag division's in a good spot right now.
I agree.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Again, as long as you don't run interference in matches.
Right. Yes. Besides that,
Claudio and Mox was the best thing I saw this week.
That's correct.
I just think that that was that's tremendous. I agree with Gabe that it's a little early, but I'm glad I saw it. Here's the thing about the Connell Classic. You're not going to get cheated. No outside interference. It's just one-on-one. Hell, I liked Pac in that spot. Pac in that match was very good. Against Kyle. Who's it?
No. Isn't
it
against... Pac was Okada.
Yeah.
Okada. Pac lost very good Okada. Match. Very good match.
Fletcher and Knight, which it felt like was Tony Khan just saying, like, hey, look, we have young talent. That's the future of this business.
Go. Yep. Yep. Fantastic. So nothing else. And I hear Russo, too much wrestling on my TV. Hell, the wrestling's good though. Yes. If you got no silly vignettes to write, put matches in the ring so we can enjoy it.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what AEW, that's what the month of December is for AEW.
Right. Yeah.
Because they've got so many matches to get into the Continental Classic. It's like, oh, well, we may be late in storylines, but hey, come here and enjoy some wrestling during the month of December in between your holiday shopping.
Didn't mind the tag team match either, though. Didn't mind the women's tag team match. Pretty good.
I don't love who went over, but yeah, the match was good. I would have Marina and Megan Bain go over, and then they lose to Willow and Carly.
I would have preferred that as well.
Brian, if I hit you with a wine bottle or a bottle, do you bleed just a little trickle, or do you get busted open across the board, across your forehead? A little trickle on Marina is a little light for me.
That also, like, coming out of Blood and Guts, like, we just had that. So, like, that almost felt out of place.
And then here comes Moxley.
Right.
wrestling in a technical match, no interference, gushing.
I'd like to see Gabe in that match and just walk right past his wife like she's not even there. She's doing a report right there, and he just breezes right past his own wife like she wasn't even there. I'm like, wow, at least I'd wink at my wife or just like a little head nod. Nope. F you. I'm going to the ring. Wow. Great marriage.
Yeah. Whatever works for them.
Quickly to your point about, because it felt like with Marina, they were starting to build some momentum. And that kind of stopped by them not winning that match.
Yes.
Yep.
And Tony and Mina don't need that. Like,
no.
He's still Tony. Like, them losing would have been A-okay.
Yeah. Especially if Babes of Wrath are ultimately the ones who go over. Yeah. Who I think should be the ones to go over. But I digress. And also, look, if you happen to...
Eddie Kingston being Eddie Kingston on Thursday? Whenever Collision was.
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah. That was Thanksgiving Collision. Good.
Yeah. And also Wednesday, he wants you to know he does the opening promo and then going back to the hotel and going to bed. Good night from Fishers.
If you happen to miss any of this show or some of the past interviews that we were referencing, you can always check us out, comment, subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. We'll be back next week, I guess, with some actual film. It's a funny thing. You find funny things when you start moving out of the building,
yes,
as they are in Chicago.
Yes.
We'll talk about all of it next week here on GKW.